It's good to see everyone this morning. It's good to have our visitors with us, and it is a pleasant surprise to have Leslie and Brandon with us this morning. I
did not know they were coming, but it is good to have them, and we're happy to see them. There'll be no PowerPoint for those of you that are technologically driven. All I can offer you today is a legal yellow pad and a Sharpie, and that's what we'll have to deal with. I do appreciate the opportunity, though, to come and speak before you. I don't do this that often. I probably should do it more than I do. But I got the idea for this lesson when we were studying in Genesis about Abraham and how God simply told Abraham, get up and go to a land that I will show you. It took great faith to do that. And we see a man that became a sojourner. And that was kind of the root of where I began to develop this lesson about what I wanted to speak to you today about. But I'll preface it by saying a few comments real quick. For those of us that are older, and I was not born old, that used to be what I would tell the students at Helena Elementary School. I'm not so sure they really believed me, but no, I wasn't born old. But I grew to be old, and as we've aged, you begin to look at things a little differently, and you begin to reflect more, at least I do, on what I need to be doing and what life is and the shortness of life and the importance of being what God would want me to be. I know as we're young, we think we'll live forever and that we're impenetrable, but that's really not the case. But anyway, for those of us that are older, we've seen and are seeing so many changes in the world that we know. It's startling when you turn on the news and you see what's transpiring in our world. Not that the world that we live in or that I lived in and grew up in was perfect, because it was far from perfect. Because it had its own problems. It had its own injustices, its own inequities that needed to be addressed. And they were changed for the betterment of all. So the world that I grew up in and that I lived in was by far from being perfect. But today the world seems to be so much more radical and unpredictable in so many ways. We just look on the news and we see the situations in North Korea, an unstable and erratic dictator. We look in France, we see the turmoil in France, the violence that is going on there, which is pretty much the way it is throughout Europe. In a lot of ways, Europe is burning. And it's sad to see this. But then we even turn our eyes to our own country, and we can see that there are those that claim to be tolerant and rail against intolerance, but they are so intolerant themselves. All the while in our country, we see and are seeing extreme agendas being pushed about social and moral and political issues. But you know, I got to thinking about all that. And you can sit here briefly and even think back yourself about the statement I'm about to make. But you know, while there are stark differences today from the past, this is pretty much the way the world has always been, if you think about it. Go back to biblical times and you can see some of the turmoil, the political unrest, and the things that occurred then. And we move on up through generations, and you can see other things like World War I, World War II. We're not going to spend a lot of time on those things. But the point that I'm making is the world's really not changed any. The medium has changed, but things are pretty much still the same as they've always been. There's always been conflict, hatred, greed, social and political unrest, and immorality. So each generation of Christians have come to realize, and this is what I've come to realize, and to be grateful for, that this world is not my home. This world is not my home. So today what I want to talk about for just a little while is the fact that this world is not our home. I want us to think about what a sojourner is. That's what Abraham was. And I want us to look at two primary types of sojourners in the Bible. And what is the main difference in them? And I want us to look at Jesus as the perfect example of a spiritual sojourner. And then to look briefly at the importance that obedience played in his life as a spiritual sojourner. And also how critical, and I emphasize that, how critical obedience is in our lives as Christians. That seems like a lot. I think we'll go fairly quickly, so I don't want anyone to be alarmed. We're not going to be here for one. But As Christians, we need to take comfort and consolation in knowing that this world is not our home. This world is not our home. In fact, those are the first words of the song, "This World Is Not My Home," and they read like this. "The world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." You know, that verse is a very good definition of what a spiritual sojourner is. It's what Jesus was, and it's what God wants us to be. You know, in a worldly context, a sojourner is simply a person who resides temporarily in a place away from home, such as college students. And Lily, and I don't mean to embarrass her, is an excellent example of that. She's a sojourner among us, but she's here whenever she's not going home to visit her parents. And so she is a sojourner, but she's very spiritually minded. I think we can all see that in her. But in a physical sense, that is what a sojourner is. It's someone who is residing temporarily in some place away from their home. You know, when you think about it, we all are sojourners. We don't think about that, especially as we're young. But we are. We're all sojourners. And regardless of your age, you're moving along that timeline. The difference, though, is some people have a worldly mindset about what it means to be a sojourner. And some have a spiritual mindset about that. And I want us to look at two quick examples of what I mean by that in the Bible that deal with the idea of a sojourner. One has a worldly mindset, and one is having a spiritual mindset. If you want to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I've handwritten all these out, so I'm not going to have to be flipping like you will, or moving through your iPhone or whatever device you might use. But if you want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, this is what Paul says. "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." Demas had turned his back on Paul. He forsook Paul because of his love for the present world. Demas had a desire for the present world. Demas saw himself as a permanent resident of this world. And you know, it's easy for any of us to become like Demas. You know, when life is good, all we want to do is kick back and let's enjoy the pleasures of life and not worry about anything. But when we allow that to happen, we are drifting into being a sojourner with a worldly mindset. And we can see that if you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 16, Jesus has a parable. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?'" So there's a warning there for us. If we're going to be a sojourner, there's a danger in becoming a worldly sojourner. In fact, there's also the same message in a sense. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, if you want to look there. And we can see here there's a warning for those with this attitude. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, 'A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire.'" Demas had a worldly mindset as a sojourner. And in the eyes of God, when God viewed this, Demas was doing a disgusting thing, as if it were a dog returning to its vomit, or a sow returning to its mud. Someone that had cleansed himself and had started the life of a spiritual sojourner and turned and embraced the world. And so that's how God viewed that, as a disgusting and foolish choice. You know, Paul, though, stands in clear contrast to Demas. Paul had a spiritual mindset about being a sojourner. He understood what was important in life. And I think that's why he was able to endure so many of the hardships that he encountered serving God. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, Paul does, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Skipping down to verse 23, he says, "For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." And also in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, Paul says, "Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the call for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." What Paul's really saying is he was looking beyond this worldly life. He didn't want to stay in this world. He wanted to be in a better place. He wanted a spiritual life in heaven. So that's the difference in Paul and Demas. For Paul to be with Christ was far better for him than to be here. But he was going to stay here until he was going to heaven. And while he was staying here, he was going to continue to press toward the prize of being in heaven with God in Christ. So, what was the reason for the difference in the mindsets of these two men, Demas and Paul? I think it's simply what Hunter read this morning for us in Joshua chapter 24. And we stand there. We stand there at some point in our lives. And so both of these men stood at this point at the crossroads of what Joshua said in Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15, if you want to turn there. Joshua there records, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's it. That's it. That was the reason for the differences between Demas and Paul as sojourners. They stood at that crossroad. And the reason that Demas was looked upon as he was is because of the decision he made to reject that. He loved the present world and he turned to it. The opposite of that was Paul, who accepted Joshua's charge to serve God through obedience. Joshua's instructions were, you can choose to live life as a sojourner with an idea of being a permanent resident in this world with a worldly mindset. But this world is everything and anything that you could desire. And I believe that's really what Demas' mindset was. What else could it have been if it wasn't that? Or you can choose to live as a sojourner with a temporary residence in this world with a spiritual mindset that says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through to heaven. And that's what Paul understood. And that was the point that I think that Joshua was trying to get across to the Israelites. You are a sojourner. This world is not your home. But you have to choose who you're going to serve. And what kind of a mindset are you going to have about that? Are you going to be a worldly sojourner? Or are you going to be a spiritually minded sojourner? To put it another way, you're just residing in a temporary place as you serve God. Your desire is to be in heaven. And that should be our desire. You know, God in His infinite wisdom sent Jesus to earth to show us the importance that obedience plays in being a spiritual minded sojourner. And that's what I would like for us to look at for just a few moments, is Jesus and the importance that He brings to us. Let's look at a few moments at some ways Jesus demonstrated the need to have obedience to God in order to be a spiritual-minded sojourner. Jesus came for a lot of reasons to this earth, but He was an example. And I think He's a very good example in this way. And we should thank God for that. First, while living on earth, Jesus obeyed in every way the commandments of God that God gave to Him. That was Jesus' understanding. Jesus was obedient to God's divine law. Jesus' focus was directed at doing the will of God and to finish the work that God gave him. That was the reason he came to earth. John chapter 4 and verse 34. John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus had a clear understanding of what he was to do. It was to obey the divine law of God. John chapter 6 and 38, John chapter 6 and verse 38 shows that Jesus' focus was to be obedient to God's will and not to fulfill his own will or his own interest. That was not the reason that Jesus came to the earth. And these verses read, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Many times, you know, we commit ourselves to a project or a decision based upon another person's advice or worldly wisdom, such as an attorney, a financial advisor, or a doctor. And sometimes that comes with great risk when we place our trust in a person like that. But how much more should we trust Jesus and have faith in him as our example of obedience to God's divine law to help us to be a spiritual-minded sojourner? It's a tremendous, tremendous amount of motivation that we can see in Jesus for what he means to us and how he should motivate us to be a spiritual sojourner. That's important when we look at the devotion of Jesus and serving God. He put nothing else before doing God's will. And that's what we should be doing as a spiritual sojourner. We should put nothing in front of doing what God wants us to do. The second way that I think Jesus demonstrates unto us the importance of obedience is in prayer. In prayer, we can see that Jesus had a desire for obedience. And we need that. We need that desire for obedience in order to be a pleasing sojourner. And we can see that in Jesus and his prayers and the content of his prayers. The desire to be obedient to God is evident in Jesus' devotion to prayer and the content of his prayers. You know, at a time when Jesus was about to face his greatest test, which was going to the cross, that was his greatest test of obedience. And also was a time when he could have been disobedient. He found the strength to be obedient, and it was through prayer. Jesus stood before mankind, about to be delivered to the harshest death anyone could ever endure. And he had an opportunity to be disobedient to that. But he went to God in prayer. And through that, he had the strength to remain obedient. On three separate occasions during the night of his betrayal, Jesus went to God in prayer. And each time, Jesus expressed the same mindset, the same ideas. You can see that in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. Notice what Jesus says. This is just before he has to face this terrible crucifixion. "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." The human side of Jesus cried out for relief from the suffering he was about to endure. He understood what was in front of him. But Jesus, in the end, says, "But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus' desire to be obedient to God prevailed over his own concerns and desires. I believe the important lesson for us is that prayer is an important part of an obedient life to God as a sojourner. And if you're not utilizing that, you're weakening yourself as far as being a spiritual sojourner. It's evident that it was important to Christ and in his life. We see the same desire in Jesus when he taught his disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6. Verses 9 through 10, this is what Jesus says. "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we should strive to have this kind of obedience in our lives that Jesus desired for his disciples. And we should pray, "God, thy will be done." Even in our lives as a sojourner, we should always pray, "God, your will be done." And thirdly, the time of the spiritual-minded sojourner named Jesus was quickly coming to a close. He was about to be offered upon the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. This was just not something that happened to Jesus by accident during his life on earth. Jesus knew before he left heaven what was going to happen to him. The price of our redemption from sin was the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew this before the foundation of the world. And we can read this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. This is what is recorded. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Jesus knew that this was the will of God, and Jesus was obedient to it, looking beyond this life to heaven, even as he faced death. In John chapter 12 and verse 23 through 28, John chapter 12 verses 23 through 28, this is what's recorded by Jesus. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Now, as we continue reading these verses, notice, I believe, the concept of a sojourner is intertwined in the rest of these verses. The word's not used, but I think as we read the rest of these verses, we can see the idea of a sojourner. This is what Jesus is talking about, that when the seed is put into the ground, it dies, but it produces much fruit. Jesus goes on and says, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. A sojourner with a physical mindset and a sojourner with a spiritual mindset. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And that's what I've been trying to get across a little bit, is Jesus is the example we need to follow if we're going to be a spiritual sojourner. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Jesus knew, as I think we can see in these verses, that obedience to God would result in his death unless he disobeyed God, which he did not do because he was a spiritual sojourner. He understood what he needed to do. The betrayal of Jesus and what he endured, the humiliation he suffered at his trials, his abandonment by his chosen disciples, and finally his death on the cross were all endured so he could be obedient to God and save sinners. That's it. Paul understood that. And I think that's what moved him to be a spiritual sojourner. From the beginning, Jesus knew that this world was not his home. He understood that. It was through his obedient act of sacrifice that many were to be made righteous. Romans chapter 5 and verses 18 through 19. Romans chapter 5 verses 18 through 19. Says this, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, which was Adam, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, that being Jesus, many will be made righteous. In his obedience, Jesus set the standard for us and for all that obey him, the author of eternal salvation. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9 says, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So Jesus has shown us that obedience to God is possible, even when we know what the cost will be. He understood that to be obedient to God would require him to suffer a horrendous death. Yet he did that. You know, sometimes we're tempted to be disobedient when we see the cost of obedience. But Jesus did not yield to disobedience, even when he knew what the cost would be. Even his life, but neither should we. But you know, so many times we do. Pressure put on us by peers, family members, relatives, job, ego, attitude, greed. All those things bring pressure to bear on us. And we go, it's just the cost is too much. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to disobey. Like Demas, we're going to drift into a sojourner with a physical mindset. You know, Jesus has shown us the importance of obedience to God in following God's divine law, in prayer to God, how that can help us to be a spiritual sojourner, and in also having a sacrificial attitude to God to be a spiritual sojourner. God expects that. Yeah, He demands that, and He has that right. He gave His Son. So anything we give up in this life, if it's our time, it's no big deal. We should give up that time if it means that we're going to be using it for God's use, for God's purpose. You know, Jesus has left us an example of what commitment as a sojourner to God should be. In John chapter 14 and verse 31, Jesus says, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do." Love and obedience guided Jesus. But these same traits Jesus is leaving for us. These are the traits, love and obedience. Love for God and obedience to God that should guide us so that others may know that we love God and we obey His commandments and that we are a spiritual sojourner. Where we can say, simply and with confidence, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." You know, obedience is clearly needed to be a faithful sojourner of God. But you know, even before we can begin our journey as a sojourner, we have to have obedience in our hearts to the gospel to become a Christian. God expects obedience, even from the very beginning. Christians are important to God. He expects them to do what He wants them to do. And He has a right to demand that. You know, Christians have an opportunity to be free from sin, as Romans chapter 6, verses 17 through 18 says. "But God be thanked that though you are slaves of sin, you are a sojourner with a physical mindset. You obeyed from the heart that form of godhood to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." You became a sojourner with a spiritual mindset. So as we stand in a moment for the invitation song, I want all of us to think about the chorus of the song, "This World Is Not My Home," which reads, "O Lord, You know I have no friend like You. If heaven is not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." So I encourage you to think about that. Think about what kind of sojourner are you? Do you have a physical mindset that this is the world that's important to you? Or do you have a spiritual mindset that you want to do what God wants you to do? And you're going to let your love of God and your desire to be obedient to God move you to be like that? I encourage you to think about those things at this time as we stand and sing.